Philippians chapter 5 tonight. Would you go ahead and pray in your heart, and then we'll look at these verses together tonight. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Again, ask for your spirit to have control of this service. And Lord, again, may our minds be stayed on thee. I ask you to please help our homes, our families, and specifically our marriages. Lord, again, that they'd be pleasing unto thee. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our theme for this year is 2020 Vision, and been spending the first part of the month each month just reminding us of our theme for the year as well as a different subject. Last month was how do you see your walk with God? And tonight I want to talk about God again is how do you see your marriage? I want to go back to Ephesians chapter 5. This is probably one of the key passages. We'll look at two passages tonight, but I want you to start here. Look at Ephesians chapter 5, and we'll just go ahead and pick it up in verse number 25. In fact, before I start in 25, let me back up. Verse number 18, and be not drunk with wine. The reminder here is that last part of verse number 18, but be filled with the Spirit. So this chapter is talking about being a Spirit-filled Christian. And listen, you're not going to have a good marriage if you're not a Spirit-filled Christian, because that's part of having a good marriage. All right, so again, you've seen these things, you have them underlined, you've been taught them before. In verse 18, there's no period. Verse 19, no period. Verse 20, no period. And there's not a period down to verse number 21. The thought is, in verses 18 through 21, that if I'm filled with the Spirit, there's three evidence of being filled with the Spirit. Verse 19, I'll speak to myself in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Church family, if you can come to church and not sing, that is a big warning flag. You're not living a Spirit-filled life, all righty? If you can't, during the week, have a tune in your heart as far as the Lord and what he's doing for you in your life, then you ought to try to read more of your Bible. You ought to try to be more Spirit-filled, because that's going to be an evidence of that as far as singing to the Lord, not to man, but to the Lord. Verse number 20, another evidence, giving thanks always for all things. A thankful Christian is a Spirit-filled Christian. That's an evidence of being Spirit-filled. Then he goes on and says in verse number 21, the third evidence is submitting yourselves one to another. Now again, the one to another, we can say it's brethren, but he starts right into verse number 22, wives, and then in verse number 25, husbands. So the idea of a Spirit-filled life is singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks to God for all things, but it's submitting to one to another. And church family, we like to use that word submit, and tonight we're going to look at it. Obviously, it's concerning the wife, because it's pretty clear here. But we look at that the wife is the only one that's supposed to submit. We're supposed to submit one to another. Listen, if your relationship with your wife is you're the boss and she's the slave, you have a wrong relationship. If you're not communicating with your wife and you could care less about her feelings, you do not have a good relationship and you're not living the Spirit-filled life. God did not give you that wife to be your maid. God gave you that wife to be your helpmeet. All righty. Now, tonight, I want to talk to the wives. We talked to the husbands this morning. But I want you to think about this as far as your marriage. You as a wife tonight, do you look at your relationship with your husband? Do you see him as a friend? Do you see him as a father to the children? Do you see him as a provider for the home? On a negative side, do you see him as abusive? Do you see him as a hothead? Do you see him as somebody with impure thoughts? I don't know how you look at your marriage tonight. And tonight's message is not about you fixing your husband, okay? We know most husbands are beyond fixing, amen? But tonight is about you as a wife as far as your marriage. Now, again, you've said it, I've said it, you understand that the way to fix a marriage is not to work on the other person. The way to fix a marriage is to work on yourself. And tonight, I want you to see your marriage. I'm talking to the ladies tonight, as far as you as a wife, understanding that this main passage that we often use that God gave us concerning the marriage is about being a Spirit-filled Christian. Now, church family, I did not print for you tonight, and I could have tonight, and I did look it up, and it's true. There's 13 things that a man is supposed to do for his wife, and I think you could find more, but from what I understand from Scripture, there's 6 main things that a wife is supposed to do for a husband. Now, tonight, I'm going to tell you the 6, but I'm not going to teach those 6. I'm going to do what I did this morning. There's 13 things that a husband's supposed to do for his wife, and the one that's mentioned more than any of the other ones is that a husband's supposed to love his wife. There are 6 things mentioned about a wife, what she's supposed to do for a husband, and only one of them is mentioned, I think, 4 times also, that God repeats it more than one time, and that's the one thing that we're going to deal with tonight in the Scripture. All right, so tonight, let me just go and read a couple verses with you first before we get started here. Look down in your Bible now in verse number 22. He says, wives, verse 22, Ephesians 5, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Jump down to verse number 33. Verse 33 says this, it says, "Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband." Now, church family, before I deal with the one thing that we're going to look at tonight, I want you to think about the six things that a wife is supposed to do for her husband, okay? The first and foremost, and this is the one we're going to look at tonight because it's mentioned in the book of Ephesians chapter 5 and also 1 Peter 3, and we will look at them and read them tonight. But the one thing that God overwhelmingly talks about is this area of submission as far as a wife submitting to her husband. And again, we'll talk about that. But I want to talk about these next five just briefly. In 1 Corinthians 7, verse number 3, believe it or not, the Bible says that the husband is supposed to give due benevolence to his wife. And then it says, and the wife is supposed to do the same to her husband. Now, the word benevolence means kindness. So in other words, in a marriage relationship, what we're supposed to do is we're supposed to be kind one to another. And obviously, the man is supposed to be kind to his wife. But the wife is also supposed to be kind to her husband. There was a fellow when I was growing up that had just gotten married. He got married actually, I think, his junior or senior of college. And after he got married, his wife, she had gotten pregnant and she had a child. And something changed in her when she had that child. I don't know if it was a chemical imbalance or really what happened. But she physically started to abuse her husband. I know it sounds crazy about a wife abusing her husband. But he would work all night, go to college all day long. And so at nighttime, she would just make sure he couldn't sleep. She'd take pans and hit the pans and keep him awake all night, not make anything for his lunches. She's just rude, just mean to her husband. You know, I don't think in the service tonight that we would have somebody like that. But can I tell you, so many times we miss the opportunity to show kindness in our marriage relationship because we think, well, they're always going to be there. Or we get the idea of you know, I don't have to do anything. I'm married. You know, this is for a lifetime. But, you know, God wants us to be kind to our mate. And you know, kindness to our mate is an action, all righty? It's doing those extra things. You remember when you were dating your husband and how you would do those little things and that he thought was unique? My wife and I, when we were dating in college, you had to check out at college to be able to go off campus, and you had to have, it was like a time card, and you had to go punch the time card, and then you put your time card back in the box. And I remember coming to that box and pulling my time card out or my little pass to be able to check it out, and she would have paperclip to it a piece of Big Red chewing gum. I don't know what Big Red is. I think they still make it, but Big Red chewing gum. You know how it was in the sticks. She would take the chewing gum apart and very carefully, and then she would take the foil, and then she would write me this note on the foil, and then she would fold it back up, put it back in its sleeve, and then she'd put it in there. And I remember looking forward, at the note I threw away, I chewed the gum, but I remember looking forward to those notes. And I would read them, and I would reread them, and I look forward. And you'd think it was just a piece of chewing gum, but it was just something that, it was special. And you know, we have those special things that we do before we get married, and then all of a sudden we stop. We don't think about how important it is to show those kindness. And you know, if you're newly married, and of course, children sometimes take away from the thought of our spouse, and especially if you have 1, 2, 3, 4, and you start having children, and then it's just a matter of trying to stay ahead of what we would call the game of making sure that the children are ready for school and making sure that the clothes that they have clothes for this and making sure that they're on time for this scheduled event. And then basically as parents, we're running to make sure our kids are keeping up with everything. Hey, listen, don't lose track of your spouse. I know tonight it doesn't matter husband or wife because actually kindness goes both directions. But you ought to look for ways to be kind to your spouse and specifically the husband tonight. A third thing that the Bible says is in Genesis chapter number 2, verse number 18, where God said, "I will make him a help meet." All right. Now that word meet is M-E-E-T. In other words, God made you to be able to help to your husband. Now, church family, I'm the pastor and I'm not God, okay? And I want to be very, very careful here. Because when you go to the New Testament, God says that the wife should be, you know, she's a keeper at home. She guides the house. And but, you know, you guys that have your wife and she helps you out with income for the family, I'm not against you whatsoever. But you know what? Don't forget, she's your helpmeet. And she's your helpmeet in a lot of areas of your life. And listen, nobody can criticize you as your family. You do what God tells you to do as far as your family goes. But can I tell you the primary thing she's there for is to help you. And, you know, sometimes that help, you know, she gets a little income. Sometimes that help is taking care of the children. Sometimes that help is getting things done for you. But she is your helper. And again, tonight's message is really for you ladies tonight, that you ought to be what God made you for. You know, I preached a message not too long ago on why were you created, and which still permeates my mind every day, that God created me to bring glory to him, and God created me to do his, his pleasure. God created us to do his pleasure. God created us to glorify him. But the only other thing that you find in scripture that God created something for a particular purpose is when he created woman. And he created the woman to be a helpmeet, to be a helper to her husband. All right, so what is a wife supposed to do for her husband? Submit to him, be kind to him, be a helpmeet to him. We just got on reading Ephesians 5:33. Here's another one. She is supposed to reverence her husband. All right, now, church family, the word reverence means to respect. It means, it actually has several definitions, but means almost to be in awe of, not like awe is like our awe of God, but just to have respect for them. Now, ladies, listen. In some cases, we as fellas do some dumb things and we lose that respect sometimes as far as our wife. Sometimes it's we fail to remember an anniversary, or sometimes we say something that's hurtful or offensive, or you know, sometimes we make a purchase and you didn't know about it and it offended you that the purchase was made. It could be a thousand different things. But can I tell you something? God commanded you to reverence your husband. So it's not right for you to criticize your husband to a female friend. You know, if you've got a friend in the church you communicate with and all of a sudden, you're out for lunch and she starts talking about her marriage and you start talking about yours, you can't do that and show disrespect to your husband because God said not to, all right? You're supposed to reverence, you're supposed to respect your husband. In other words, you ought to put him in a good light. You know, when it comes to the church staff, and you know, I'm thankful for the staff, but you know, the staff puts me in a good light and the staff knows me. My wife puts me in a good light and she knows me. But can I tell you something? That's what a wife's supposed to do, okay? She's supposed to put her husband in a good life. So if your husband's got some bad qualities, don't be telling everybody about him, all right? You keep that between you and God. You're supposed to reverence, you're supposed to respect, have some respect for him. Next one. Now, church family, I mentioned this a little bit this morning, and I want to say this again, okay? There is not a verse in the Bible that says, wives, love your husbands. But Titus chapter 2, verse number 4 says that the older women is supposed to teach the younger women to love their husbands. Okay, and so I gather from that, it's hard to teach something you're not doing. All right, are you all with me so far? All right, so the idea of you as a wife, you ought to love your husband. Because you're not going to be able to teach the younger women how to love their husbands if you're not loving your husband. So what is love? Love is affection. All righty. Showing affection towards your husband. And then also in that same passage about the older women teaching the younger women, it's interesting, in Titus 2:5 it says that they were supposed to teach them to be obedient to their husbands. Now obviously you can't teach something that you're not already doing. And this again is going to fall under the idea of submission. But again, the word obedience is used. So six things that a wife is supposed to do toward her husband. Number one, submit to him. Number two, be kind to him. Number three, be a helpmeet to him. Number four, reverence him. Number five, love him. And number six, obey him. Now, church family, I want to deal with submission for just a little bit tonight, and I'll do my best to hurry, but I want you to think about a couple things, and I need you to go back to the book of Genesis before we get started tonight. Would you go back to the book of Genesis, and I want you to see about what took place at the fall of man in Genesis chapter number 3. Genesis chapter number 3. I want you to look at one verse with me, and that's verse number 16. This is what the curse that came upon woman was. What was her sentencing? All right, I want you to see, when I say sentencing, what was the curse that came upon woman? There was a curse that came upon the ground, a curse that came upon the man, a curse that came upon the serpent. But what was the curse that came upon Eve and all mankind after that, specifically the woman or the ladies here? Look at verse 16. Here's what God said. Unto the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In other words, when you have children, there's going to be pain, there's going to be sorrow in thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Now, two main things I see here in the curse that when Eve ate of the fruit, and she wasn't supposed to, is that there would be sorrow and there would be subjection, submission, I should say. There would be sorrow and submission. In other words, sorrow in as far as having children, and then her husband would rule over her. All right? Now, I think because of the key word for the husband and the wife, I believe that they're the hardest things for each to do. All right? For instance, the key word for the husband, remember, love, honor, cherish, nourish. The key word for the husband that's number one that we're supposed to do, we talked about this morning, is the word, talk to me, love, all right? I think that loving for a man is hard. It's difficult. I think that's why God had to command us to do it, because it's not natural for us, all right? I think it's the same thing for a woman, that one of the hardest things for a woman to do is to submit. All righty? And so tonight, I want to look at this one word tonight, because it's mentioned several times, to look at the submission. So let's go ahead and look at Ephesians real quickly, and then we'll look at 1 Peter, and we'll be done tonight. Flip back to Ephesians chapter 5. I want you to see what the Bible says about this area of submission. Ephesians chapter 5, and I'll jump down, and we'll pick it up quickly here in verse number 22. The word submission, or the word subordinate, means to obey or to be under obedience, all right? To submit oneself to, all right? So, ladies, can I do this tonight? I want to give you three thoughts tonight. Here's where I'm going with this. If the key word for the woman's relationship to her husband is submit, and it's a difficult thing, in my opinion, it's a difficult thing, okay? Because it goes against our nature. What can I do to cause myself to submit, all right? Hey, church family, listen. As far as our church family, you know the church family as well as I know the church family. I say what I'm about to say carefully, I guess. I just want to make sure I'm saying it correctly. In our church, we have some strong-willed women, but we don't have bossy women. Now, give me liberty tonight, okay? If you ever met to me there's a difference between a bossy woman and a strong-willed woman. By the way, a strong-willed woman that submits can still have a strong will. She just chooses to submit. A bossy woman doesn't choose to submit. She's going to do what she wants regardless. All righty? Now, ladies, you know as well as I do that there's times in your life that your husband wants you to do things that you don't want to do. And I'm not talking about sinful things. You know, it's just part of, you know, okay, we'll do it. You know, it's like your children, amen? Okay, we'll do it. I mean, but it's not something necessarily you want to do. So you have to, as a Christian, understand that, okay, this goes against my grain. I don't want to submit to him. I don't like this area. I don't want to do what he's thinking. And you know what even makes it harder is, in the day that we're living in today, is education. You know, hey, my wife, it's interesting to me. My children, when they have math problems, they never come to me and ask for help. I don't understand it when it comes to school. I am there for them. They don't ask me about algebra, geometry. They don't ask me about any of it. You know who they go to? They go to my wife. When it comes to needing help for their schoolwork, which I'm thankful there's some blessings to not being real good at school, I guess. They go to my wife. To be honest with you, I don't know that I've sat down with any of my kids for homework this year, one thing whatsoever. You know, and I've got the answers. They don't come and ask, so this is part of it. So, hey, but so in our situation, my wife is a lot smarter in a lot of areas than I am, but she submits. She lets me be the boss. You know, you guys that have a wife that's submissive, it's a blessing, isn't it? And so this idea of submission, you say, Pastor, I just don't, it's not me. I'm a leader, all right? And by the way, we have some women in our church that are leaders. Nothing wrong with being a leader, okay? But when it comes to the home, submission, God wants you to submit to your husband. Now, I want to give you three things tonight on how you can get yourself to submit to him. All right, three things on how to get yourself submitted to him. Here's the first one. I want you to look at verse number 22 now. Ephesians 5, verse number 22 says this. It says, verse 21 says, submitting yourselves one to another. Verse 22, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. I want you to read the last phrase, verse 22, out loud with me. Ready? As unto the Lord. Hey, listen, ladies, it would be a lot easier if you'd stop looking at him as the one you're submitting to. Because the one you're submitting to is the sovereign authority, not the delegated authority. The sovereign authority is God, and he's the one that says, I want you to submit to a delegated authority. Hey, listen, you do it all the time, every day of your life, and you don't think anything about it. You say, what do you mean? Every time you drive down the road, you obey a delegated authority. The delegated authority says, go 45 miles an hour. You obey the delegated authority. You go to work, and your boss tells you what to do, and you don't even think twice about doing what the boss says because God's the sovereign authority, and he created government. And he gave us employers, and the employer, and you obey a delegated authority. But for some reason, when it comes to the home, because we know this guy so well, we don't want to obey the delegated authority. And I want you to understand, you have to look at it as, I am obeying him as unto God. Listen, when God gave us a pastor, God gave us an employer, God gives us government, and God gave us a husband. God put several delegated authorities in our life. And listen, stop looking at him as he's the problem. He's not the problem. He is just a delegated authority. And so what I have to do is realize, number one, is I'm submitting to God. That's what I got to do. It's not a matter of me submitting to him. I'm doing what God wants me to do as a wife and submit to my husband. All right? Number two, think about this. I want you to go over to 1 Peter chapter number 3, all right? First one is realize you're submitting to God. Look at the next thing, 1 Peter chapter number 3 with me. Look at verse number 1. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 1. Now, the first phrase in chapter 3, verse number 1 says, likewise, ye wives, be in subjection. Now, church family, the word likewise is the first word of the third chapter, which means it's a follow-up of chapter number 2. For him to say likewise, that means it's going on from chapter number 2. I want you to jump back to chapter number 2 with me. Look at verse number 21. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. All right, so it's talking about Jesus, follow his steps. Look at verse 22. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in him, who when he was reviled, what did he do? All right, reviled not again. When he suffered, what did he do? Now look at this last phrase, verse number 23. But committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Church family, who is it that judges righteously? It was God. So then when you get to chapter number 3 and verse number 1 and it says, likewise, wives, he's saying if Jesus Christ, who had never done anything wrong, could submit himself and not revile those who reviled him, not lash back to those who were against him, then wives, you ought to do the same thing when it comes to your husband. Are we together so far? So look what he says next now. He says, likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. Now, I want to read this a little bit slower because here's my thought on this, okay? Or my thought, the word of God's thought. Let me tell you what I'm thinking. I'm going to read it again, okay? Realize that your submission can win his submission. Girls, have you ever thought about this? The problem you're having with your husband is that in a lot of cases, is your husband's not submitted to God. And you're justifying your non-submission because of his non-submission. Now, I understand that verse number 1 and 2 there really gives the indication that this is a lost person and you can win him to Christ. The only thing that I gather, though, from that verse, it says about the word. I'll show it to you now. Look at verse number 1 again. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word. Now, this is where we get, okay, this is a lost husband with a saved wife, that you can win him by your conversation. The word conversation means behavior, all right? So let's look at this one more time. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they, the husband, also may without the word be won by the conversation. The word conversation means behavior. By the conversation or the behavior of the wives while they behold your chaste conversation. All right, chaste being holy, pure virtue, and conversation being behavior coupled with fear. In other words, your fear as far as your relationship with your husband. Now, church, I mean, I do believe that a lost person can get saved from a saved wife's behavior. In other words, saying, hey, if God's that real to you, I want that God, all right? But when it makes the statement that they obey not the word, I want to tell you, I've met husband-wife relationships, and the husband's not obeying the word. And it's not the word of salvation. It's the word of God when it comes to love your wife. It's the word of God as far as nourishing her and cherishing her. It's the word of God that tells him how to be a good husband that he's not doing. And then what the wife is, she is aggravated with her husband because the husband's not doing what he's supposed to do. You know, I don't know if it's just a natural thought, but it used to be years ago. It's the idea of, you know, women, you need to submit. Women, you need to submit. And I'm telling you something. We'd fix all the submission problems if we get husbands to love their wives. It's a lot easier to submit to somebody that loves you and shows it. So this area of, and ladies, listen, you cannot use that for an excuse now as far as submission, but you understand that your submission to him can win his submission to God. Whether the guy's lost or saved, he's still not obeying the word of God. So when it comes to submitting, ladies, how do I get myself to submit in relationship I'm in? It's just hard. Well, I think number 1, you have to realize who you're submitting to. It's God, not him. Number 2, you have to realize that your submission can win his submission. Now, I want to show you one last thing, and it's here in the same passage here, 1 Peter chapter 3. Look at verse number, verse 1 says, likewise, ye wives be in subjection. Verse number 3, whose adorning, talking about the wives adorning, what she puts on, whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting. That word plaiting means braiding of hair, the plaiting of the hair, the braiding of your hair, and of wearing of gold. in other words, jewelry, or of putting on of apparel. In other words, girls, you know, unfortunately, a lot of girls are getting their husband by doing those things, fixing your hair, putting on some jewelry, and having a nice dress on. But listen, as far as the marriage relationship, that's not what's going to fix your marriage. Look what he says. Look what he says next here in verse number 4. It's not those things. Verse 4, but let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible. In other words, it's not going to get old. It's not going to get ugly. It's the heart, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. Now look what he says, verse 5. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves. Notice they had that kind of adorning of a meek and quiet spirit. They adorned themselves, who trusted in God, being in subjection unto their own husbands. Now, just a minute. I hope you see it in the verse there, but here's what I want you to understand. The best way to help you submit to your husband is, number one, realize you're submitting to God, not him. Number two, realize that your submission can win his submission. Number three, realize your submission is about trusting God. You say, what do you mean? Verse number 5. Did you read it there? Let me read it one more time if you don't mind. Verse 5. For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorn themselves, being in subjection to their own husbands. In other words, how did the old time women submit to their husbands? They trusted God. Hey, you know what the problem with a lot of times in our marriage is? We make decisions based upon what we see. Did you see the next verse? I don't know if you did. You might have looked ahead, but look at verse number 6. Let me see just this one more verse. Even as, now, church family, for God to put even as, he's referring to what he just got done saying in the previous verse, right? Verse number 5. He said, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. Now, I'm not telling you to call your husband Lord. You have other names for him. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are as long as ye do well and are not afraid with any amazement. Now, think about it, church family. What does the Bible say that Abraham did in the Old Testament? Abraham went out not knowing whither he went. Hey, wives, how would you like to follow a man that doesn't even know where he's going? You say, that's me. No. That's not what I meant, all right? That was Abraham. Abraham is going to a land that he doesn't know. God just said go, and so Abraham went, and he had a wife following him that, according to that, the context of Scripture, the women of old time, they trusted God, which caused them to be submissive in subjection to their own husband. You got to realize that sometimes submission is an act of faith on your part. Now, listen, ladies. I don't have time to read any more verses really tonight as far as going through the verses, but I believe with all my heart you're not supposed to submit to your husband if your husband's telling you to do something contrary to the word of God. And the reason I believe that is because God's a supreme authority. If he ever tells you to go down to the store and get a six-pack of beer, I think you can say no according to Scripture. Because when the Bible says just obey your husband in everything, it's in accordance to what God wants for our life. It's not in accordance to what he wants. It's in accordance to God. And you take that from Ecclesiastes also, where it says we're supposed to obey the commandment of God above the commandment of man. So I think if your husband ever asks you to do something contrary to the word of God, I think you should obey God. I have no qualms of saying that. If a person comes to me for marital counsel, I tell them the same thing. God is always the supreme authority in our life. But can I tell you, most of the time, we're not dealing with them telling you or asking you to do something contrary to the word of God or contrary to God. We're just because he's making a dumb decision, or because he's not taking the leadership role, or because he's spending money that you wish that he wouldn't spend, or a thousand other things that's going on in your life. But do you understand something here? Submission to your husband is sometimes an act of faith on your part, but that's what the old-time women did. You ever thought about this? When the Bible says, in old time, holy women trusted God. Did you ever think about this? Those old-time women, they didn't have the complete word of God. Those old-time women did not even have examples that they could necessarily follow. We've got a book full of examples. But you know what they did? They trusted God. You know, this generation that's growing up right now, you know, they've been filled with all these lies. You can, ladies, have a career. You know, I'm going to tell you where it starts, by the way. When they break down the authority in the home, you don't have to obey your mom and dad. You know, you can do your own thing. All these Hollywood movies that portray the young person making a fool out of their parents, that is so wrong. You know why it's so wrong? Because when you break the authority of the home down and mom and dad doesn't know anything, you have broken down the authority in the next person's home when they get married. I'm marrying Mr. Dingledorf. He don't know what he's doing. I know what I'm doing. So what's happened is we've broken down the relationship, the marriage relationship, because now what it is, you know, she's doing her thing and he's doing his thing. And so what happens, they don't have a good marriage and they're training children that are one day going to grow up. And church family, you've been around long enough. Most of the time you marry somebody, if you're a young lady, you marry somebody like your dad. And most of the times, if you're a young man, you marry somebody that like your mother. I don't know how the Lord, it seems like it always draws that way. It's not 100%, but I'm going to tell you, I've seen it more times than not, where a person marries somebody, if it's a young lady, a person like their father, if it's a young man, a person like their mother. And that's why it's so important that the role models in the home are what they're supposed to be so that our children can marry well. It's more than just the pastor preaching from the pulpit, and it's more than you just in your home saying, now listen, make sure you look for a guy like this. Church, I mean, they're taught by what they see more than what they hear. And so that's why it's important when you leave the house in the morning, ladies, make his lunch for him. Don't put the thing he doesn't like in there. Put the thing he does like in there. And it's probably chocolate. Put it in there. You say, but he's overweight. So what? He's happy. Okay. Put the chocolate in there. Remember those times you wrote those notes? When's the last time you put a note in your husband's lunch? And I'm sure there's some of you do that. But don't lose sight of those things. Keep your relationship special. And listen, if you're having a rocky time right now in your marriage, can I tell you something? For with God, nothing shall be impossible. God can fix anything. God can do anything. And don't stop trusting God. All right? Hey, you young couples, look at me and I'm done tonight. I'll finish up right here. Listen, how you start has everything to do with how you finish. So you young couples, you got to make sure that the foundation of your marriage is based upon the Word of God, not on your love for one another or the physical attraction of one another. You've got to make sure the foundation is God. Make your marriage relationship about the Lord. You young couples, listen, if you are starting marriage off right now and you can't pray with your wife, what's it going to be like in 20 years? My wife and I, we pray together every night before I go to bed. If I'm always, whenever I'm home, which is most sometimes. There's not a night that we don't pray for together. So we try to have family altar with the kids, and then we always, when we go to the room, she always comes in, and we'll pray together before we go to bed. Listen, you young couples, when my wife and I didn't have any children at home, we'd read chapters together before we went to bed at night. We'd spend some time. Listen, you ought to make sure that your marriage and the foundation is spiritual. And if you don't have some type of foundation that's spiritual right now, it's going to get worse over time. All right? Now, you older ones, my age and up, you guys make sure that you say, well, we haven't done that in a long time. It doesn't matter. You guys make sure you pray together. I know your families are all different. If it's in the morning that you pray together before you leave the house, pray together. If it's a matter before you go to bed at night, reading a chapter out of the Bible together, read a chapter in the Bible together. But keep God your foundation for your marriage. And God wants you to have a good marriage. He wants you to have a happy marriage. Hey, I want to tell you something. I love my wife, but there's times that we're not always going to see eye to eye. You know, we don't really have knockdown dragouts. I mean, I hit her with a bat, but other than that, we don't have knockdown dragouts. But I want to tell you something. I get to enjoy marriage because she lets me. But I want to tell you something, ladies. The things that you're dealing with, probably the number one is always going to be submission. And those other things you need to pray for. And I will say this, and I'm done. I don't pray for my wife on those six things. That's why I don't know them. I don't have them memorized. Okay, but if I was a wife, I would pray those six things every day of my life. Now, the 13 things is me. I need to change me. Those six things is my wife. But if you're a woman, you ought to be asking God. God, help me to love him. Help me to obey. Help me to submit. Help me to reverence him. Show respect. Well, those six things, you ought to have those. You ought to just pray and ask God to help you with those things. He will. And again, do your best to work on your marriage. Your children are watching you. Would you bow your head and close your eyes tonight? Let's take a time of prayer tonight. Tonight's message really is a help for all of us tonight, not just for the ladies tonight. If you're not married, you ought to be asking God right now that God would keep you pure and clean and help you to find the one that God would have you to marry. If you're married tonight, you ought to ask God to help me to be a better marriage partner, better spouse. May all of us, again, do our best to be what God wants to be. Let's all stand together. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed.